Let us take the Word of God tonight. We'll go to the very middle of God's Word, the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. If you find the book of Psalms, go to Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes, right in the heart of God's Word. I told you this morning that I wanted to bring a specific message tonight, and I've just asked God to lead and direct me on some of these Sunday night's messages. We will get into the book of Colossians, and I've been studying and preparing there, but I just sensed the leading of the Lord, especially last week when what was going on in our community. I felt as if God wanted me to speak on that. And tonight, I want to bring this. I want to say this to you as we begin tonight. There are seasons of life. Just as there are seasons around here in Ohio. Now, for instance, I love the season of summer, and I love spring. I love summer. I even love fall. But can I just be honest with you tonight? I just don't care for winter, you know? Now, that's just my personality. I grew up in Tennessee, and winters to me were fun because we got out of school, you know? And I can remember one time the forecasters were forecasting snow. And boy, they were talking of big snow, and it didn't snow one snowflake, and we got out for school. You know, it was awesome. And I do remember one time it snowed about 4 or 5 inches, and they don't have trucks. They don't have things like that we have around here. We got off school for a whole week. I remember that. So I loved wintertime, you know, because usually it would warm up enough, and it would snow, and the next day you could go out in it, and I loved making snowballs and throwing them at my sisters and all of that. Life was good, you know? But I will say this to you. During the winter time, when the days are cloudy and the days seem to just, the sun doesn't shine. It's shining up there, but we just can't see it too much. Sometimes we get a little weary of the winter time. But it is a season. And it is a season that God has given to us. Life is a lot like the seasons. It really is. There is a springtime to every phase of life. There is a summertime to every phase of life. There is a fall time to every phase of life. And there is a winter to every phase. When I think about all of these different things, tonight I want to preach on the subject, seasons of the soul. Seasons of the soul. I found something recently talking about the winter and the weather. And, you know, to be very honest with you, we've had a very mild winter. I'm thankful for it. But whatever the Lord brings our way. But someone said this. They kind of gave a diagram of the temperature and what happens in different places. All right. So here we go. At 70 degrees, people in Texas turn on the heat and unpack their winter coats, you know. At 70 degrees. But in Ohio, people go swimming in the rivers, you know, at 70 degrees. I think that's just about the truth. At 60 degrees, people in North Carolina turn on the heat. But at 60 degrees, people in Ohio plant their gardens, you know, and life is good. At 40 degrees, people in Tennessee go buy all the eggs, bread, and milk at the grocery store, right? Now, I can say that because I'm from there, and that's exactly what we did, you know. I'll never forget. The forecaster saying it's going to snow or it's going to get cold. And what did we do? Mom said, son, we got to go to the store, you know. And we had milk, we had bread, we had eggs, but I don't know. It was, you know, the end of the times was coming, you know. So people in Tennessee go buy bread, milk, and eggs. But people in Ohio drive with their windows down at 40 degrees, you know. That's the truth, really. At 20 degrees, people in Florida put on their coats, gloves, and their wool hats. At 20 degrees, people in Ohio throw on a flannel shirt, you know. Some of you don't even put that on. Some of you guys around here, you know. At 15 degrees, people in South Carolina declare a state of emergency, all right. But people in Ohio have their last cookout before it gets cold, you know. I think there's some truth to this a little bit. You know, I read something recently. The truth of the matter is, in Ohio, did you know that 24 astronauts are from the state of Ohio? Now, there's many ways to look at that. But here's what I would like to ask you. What is it about our state that makes people not want to leave the state, but leave the whole earth, you know? I mean, really, there's many ways to look at that, you know? So I don't know. Maybe it's the weather or something, you know? But anyway, I also heard that, you know, we have different weather around here in Ohio. And I have heard this. In case of a tornado, all right, evacuate to the Brown Stadium where there is no chance of a touchdown. All right? So I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. So, that's bad. All right? Now, how many is a Cleveland Browns fan? All right? Praise God. All right? Let me see that again. Brother Barry, now, Brother Barry kind of went like this. He didn't. So anyway, anybody else a Browns fan? Anybody else? Okay, all right. Lord bless you. I didn't mean that. I was just reading notes here, all right? So, but anyway. But you know, the truth of the matter is this. Something is true about our human nature, and that is this. Whatever season we are in, we can always tend to find something to complain about. It doesn't matter if it's springtime, we can complain about the allergies. If it's summertime, we can complain about the heat. If it's fall, we can complain about raking the leaves. And if it's winter, we can complain about the weather and the cold and the dark, dreary days. Brethren, life is a lot about the seasons that we encounter. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, because I want to show you something here. Solomon, we know him as the wisest man outside the Lord Jesus Christ who ever walked the face of the earth. But did you know that Solomon died one of the most foolish men that had ever lived? Because just because you have knowledge of things doesn't mean that you will execute things in wisdom. Solomon had the greatest opportunity, but Solomon tells us something in chapter 3 of verse number 1. Let's begin there. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And look in verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, when we look in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, that chapter, we go from one extreme to the next. A time to be born, which is joy and laughter and excitement and anticipation, but a time to die. I do not enjoy going to a funeral, no matter what funeral it is. Even though the person, if they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've entered into heaven forever with the Lord Jesus, but it is still a sorrowful time. Notice here Solomon goes from one extreme to the next. What is he teaching us here? Life has seasons. And every aspect of life has seasons. Number one tonight, I want to give you some simple thoughts. Number one, every season has its burdens. Did you know that no matter what kind of season that you're in tonight, it might be a season of trials. It might be a season of blessings. It might be a season of growth. It might be a season of loss. It might be a season of sickness. It might be a season of health. It might be a season when the kids are running around the house. It might be a season when the kids are leaving the home. It might be a season of job growth, but it might be a season of job loss. No matter what season you and I are in, every season has its burdens. Would you take your Bibles and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6. Solomon is here trying to teach us and instruct us about the seasons of the soul. Now, brethren, I pray that God will help us and teach us tonight from His Word that we would enjoy the season where God has placed us. Do you know that the greatest time of your life is not in the past, it is not in the future, it is now. You know, today is the greatest day of your life because it is the day that God has given you. It is the day that God has blessed you with. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible tells us this. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Is it not amazing that seasons have their burdens? In fact, every season has its burden and its blessing, and they're almost simultaneously. They work together. For instance, let's take for this. My wife and I, we have talked recently in the days past, and when we went to Brother and Mrs. Stevenson's wedding and all of that, we talked about when we got married, you know, kind of brings that back all up. And we talked about life as it was. And I can remember when we first got married. I was 23 years of age. My wife was 20. And I remember us going to a church to serve there. And we talked about what that was like. And everybody made fun of us and giggled behind us because we were the newlyweds, you know, and the honeymooners, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I remember that season. It was a wonderful season. But that season had its blessings, but it had its burdens. I remember the season of when our children were little, you know, and tiny and running around the house and all of those different things. And, you know, there's a certain part of that that I miss, you know. Now my boys tackle me to the ground, you know, and I have to defend myself and all of that. I have bruises on me right now from the other night, you know, and their time is coming. I want them to know that, all right, because when they're asleep, they have no idea. But anyway, all right. But I remember that time when our kids were little. And, you know, I'll never forget coming home from working. And there was nothing in the world like walking in the door. And the kids come running and wrap their arms around my legs. And I'm walking into the house. I got one on one leg and one on the other. And, you know, and riding horsey and all that kind of stuff like that. That had its blessings, but it had its burdens. All of us here can think about seasons of our life, but here the Bible tells us that in every season, here we find there are manifold temptations. The word temptation there has nothing to do with a temptation to sin, but it's talking about many, numerous burdens. Every season has its burdens. And brethren, may I tell you this, our contentment and our fulfillment in life, or a lack of it, is directly related to what we expect out of each season. You know, sometimes you and I have unrealistic expectations. We have expectations about what things should be and how things should happen in our life. And when those expectations do not fulfill us, guess what happens? We can become very discontent in life. Listen, discontentment is something that we all struggle with. That's why Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am." The word state there is dealing with the season. He said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He said, "I've had to work at this thing. This is not something that comes natural to me." Paul said, "There have been times in my life when I have been discontent." But Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state, in whatsoever season, to be content." You know something, you and I set ourselves up for discontentment. We set ourselves up for complaint when we build unrealistic expectations of God and His blessings in our life. And by the way, I believe that a lot of our disappointment is how we view who our Savior really is. Do you know that some people think of God as the proverbial genie in the bottle? They think that God is just to give them all the great things that they think they want in life. And that's who God is. They see God as a servant to them to serve their needs and their wants and their desires rather than being a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that has a lot to do with our attitude. You know, I do not want to be the type of person who is always looking in the past and saying, boy, those were the good days, weren't they? Boy, those were the days, those were the simple days, and those were the great days, and boy, those were the fun days in life. And to look in the past, or to be the type of person that says, boy, one day when I get retired, one day when I get to this area, one day when I get the kids raised, and one day when I get to this point, that's when life will really begin. Brethren, God wants us to enjoy now. He wants us to cherish the day. Today is a gift from God. Every day that you and I have to live is a gift from our Heavenly Father. You see, yes, there are blessings that God wants to give us. Yes, God is good to us. But we need to remember what our Lord said in John 16:33. The Lord Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know what the Lord was saying to us there? You're going to have burdens. You're going to have tribulation. What did Job tell us? Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That doesn't sound very good, does it? But brethren, every season has its burdens. And when you and I think that one day when we get to this place where we think is a utopia, where we think there is no more problems and everything will be perfect and everything will be in its place, you are going to become discontent because when you get there, it's not going to be what you think. Because every season has its burdens in life. Look, when we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, Solomon is bouncing back from the positive to the negative. He's talking about war and talking about peace. He's talking about love and talking about hate. He's talking about building and talking about tearing down. Why? Because every season has its own difficulties. One great lesson that we can learn from Solomon is that life seasons, we need to expect hardship. We've got to expect it. But brethren, I've got news for you tonight. We have a great burden bearer tonight that bears our burdens. He gets under the load with us and goes with us. That's what the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You see, because we tend to look back and remember how good life was years ago. And can I tell you something? The problem with looking in the past and thinking about how good life was, when you lived in the past, you didn't think it was very good when you were going through it. You know, I remember my grandfather talking, and he would talk about how much things cost years ago. And I can remember as a kid sitting there thinking, man, things were almost free back then years ago, you know. And he talked about how much a Coke was and how much gasoline was and all of that. And my grandfather would often say, boy, those were the days. Those were the good old days. But can I tell you something? My dad has told me, son, when we were living, he didn't think they were the good days, you know. He was waiting to another day to come. And brethren, may God help us to understand that every season has its burdens. It has its blessings. It has its joys. It has its difficulties. But God wants us to enjoy the day that God has given us. Because the past is gone. And the present is only a hopeful. Listen, brethren, God does not give us a promise of another tomorrow. In fact, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but I've got news for you this. God has given us today, and we can rejoice today. We can enjoy today because you and I tend to look at the past as the good old days or to look forward and to think of a time in life when everything is in its place. The problem with that is, that inevitably means that life right now kind of stinks, you know? That's basically what we're saying. If we're saying, you know, hey, the past was really good, man. Life was great. Or the future is going to be really good. What we're saying inevitable is right now is not really good. Right now, I don't enjoy right now. Right now is a season of life that is tough for me to deal with. But brethren, it is a gift from God. Every day is God's gift to you and me. I have been in the home of Bill and Lori Edwards. And I'm going to tell you this, Bill Edwards is quite a man. He's a gentleman by all means. A man that for many years worked and labored and known throughout this community. But Bill Edwards has a disease that is just really crippling his body. He's not able to walk, not able to do what he used to be able to do. But I remember him saying, and it's kind of a verse that him and I quote back to one another. I'll say, Brother Bill, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And boy, that helps him. And you know what? It helps me to know, look here, you and I, if the Lord tarries his coming, we're going to end up one day when we cannot walk. We're going to end up one day when we cannot feed ourselves. We're going to end up that unless the Lord tarries his coming. So today is the day the Lord has given us. Today we should rejoice. And even though the weather may not be what we want it to be, and even though our circumstances may not be what we want them to be, every day is a gift from God, and every season has its burdens. Can I tell you this? If now is always negative, your imagination will remember yesterday for its positives, will dream of tomorrow for its possibilities, and then see today's negatives at the expense of God's blessings in our life. We should look every day for the blessings of the Lord every day. This past week, I, of course, went to the public school early in the morning on Tuesday, and then I ran to the hospital in Springfield and got there just in time before Barb Hildebrand was having surgery. And then I had a few moments that I went by to see Wanda Boggs, and it was so funny to me. It was kind of, you know, not about 9:30 in the morning, and I walked in, and usually I'm there in the afternoon or whatever it may be, but I walked in, and Miss Wanda was sitting there in her pajamas, all right, and she was eating a big old fat donut. I mean, a big old donut. And she was watching a black and white television show, you know. And I walk in and I said, Miss Wanda, what in the world are you doing? And she just started laughing, you know. And I said, your bed's not even made. And I'm just giving her a hard time. And she's laughing. And I said, you didn't even save me any donut. This is terrible. I'm starving right now. And she's just laughing away. But she told me, and when I was getting ready to leave, she always hugs me and says, Pastor, I love you. And she says, tell everyone that I miss them at the church. She said, I'd give anything to be able to come to church once again. But you know something? Her body does not allow her to do that. But I want to tell you something. There is a lady who enjoys the day. You know what? Her life is confined to a little room. And she doesn't have a lot of clothes. She doesn't have a vehicle. She doesn't have a house. She doesn't have a lot of clothes. But what is confined to just a little small area that for many of us would be not as big as our closet, that's about what she has. And a little bed in there, and that's pretty much it. The privacy is gone. She lives with everyone else. She hears all the conversations and all of that. But Miss Wanda enjoys the day that God has given her. She rejoices that God has saved her. And brethren, God wants us to enjoy the now. He wants us to live for the now and not be just looking for another day, because every season has its burdens. Brethren, if you and I are always trying to get back to where we were, or we're trying to get to where we hope to be, then we are not savoring what God has for us here and now. We are wasting the moment. Do you know something? I have wasted many nows by looking to the future and living in the past. I've wasted many days by looking forward to another day, or by thinking about the past like that was the life to live. That was the day. No, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So what must we do? We need to expect and embrace the burdens that come into our life, because the burdens themselves are gifts from God, because God is teaching us, He is training us, He is nurturing us, He is making us more and more like Him. Expect the burdens. They will come in every season. But let us embrace the burdens. Remember what 1 Peter 1:6, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Look here, I do not know where I would be without the burdens that God brought my way. Because it was the burdens that taught me more of the Lord. It was burdens that drew me close to Christ. It was burdens that broke me in my Christian life so that I'm dependent upon the Lord. So embrace the burdens. Expect the burdens. Folks, tonight, your life and my life can be dramatically changed if we would simply apply this one decision to life. If we would embrace the burdens that God gives us as gifts from the Lord, they are meant to deepen you. They are meant to strengthen you and to expand your influence for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That's what I see what took place. That's what I see this past week, and of course what took place at West Liberty Salem School. I'm amazed at a young man by the name of Logan that has embraced this burden and has said, God has a purpose for this. There's a young man that is enjoying the day, the now. Look here, can I put it in perspective? Where are you at in your season? I don't know. You might be a season, I can remember my wife years ago. Boy, it was just all she could do to clean up one mess from a child and taking care of this child and feeding this child and taking care of everything. And I remember so often getting home, and boy, she's wore out. And boy, that was a season that we went through. But my wife, she loved that season. She enjoyed that season to be with our children. Every season that God has given you, no matter if it's a lot of studying right now, no matter if it's a lot of laboring right now, no matter if it's a lot of difficulties right now, embrace the season and expect the burdens that God will bring your way, because the burdens are there to make you what God has created you to be. Number two, every season has its burdens, but number two, every season has its beauty. Now, to me, in the springtime, when the grass is starting to grow and the trees are starting to bloom, to me, that is a beautiful season. I love it. Some of you love the fall of the year where the leaves are starting to change. I grew up in close to Pigeon Forge. We lived about 45 minutes from Pigeon Forge. And so often we would go to the mountains in the fall season. And we would see that. But can I tell you something, and I'll be real honest with you? I honestly took that for granted as a kid. I thought every place looked like that. And sometimes I hear some of you that you go out to Pigeon Forge during the fall season, and you'll come back and say, oh, Pastor, it was so beautiful. And I think in my mind and heart, you know, I knew it was beautiful when I was there, but I didn't savor the beauty because I was used to it. You see, every season has its own unique beauty. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, and be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. You see, every season has its beauty. Folks, right now, your life is very special. Right now, today, you should cherish the day, because today is a beautiful day if God has given you this day. Today is beautiful. Right now, you may be having a hard time seeing the beauty of the day. But God's grace will give your eyes understanding, and God's grace will help you to see. So often, you and I are blinded by hardship and trials. And we think, boy, this is a horrible time. This is a tough time. And boy, I miss those days that I used to have. And I'm ready for this to be over so I can get to another day. But the problem is, there is beauty in that season that we are missing. We're missing the beauty of it. I'll be honest with you. Spring is a beautiful season. Summer, there's a beauty about summer around here. There's a beauty about fall. But there is a beauty about winter. Sometimes it may be a little hard to see, but can I tell you what I love to see? Right now, it seems as if everything is dead outside. The grass is dead. The trees are dead. But I got news for you. They're not dead. They're just resting a little bit because springtime is coming in a few months. And when springtime comes, life comes once again. But God has a purpose for this winter season. There is a beauty in every season that God has given us. Brethren, we should choose to see the beauty beyond the burdens of life, to cherish every season that God has given us, and to know that God is doing right in spite of the trials, in spite of the difficulties. My wife and I have talked a lot about, you know, the burdens. We've been married this coming July, 19 years. And it's been a wonderful 19 years. And I pray that God will, I've asked God to allow us to grow old together, you know. And I've asked God to let us serve the Lord for many, many years to see His blessing. And we've talked about the burdens through the years. We've talked about the trials that we have had. But can I tell you something? We look back upon those things, and there's actually a beauty about that, because the beauty is that God is at work in our life. Brethren, God makes no mistakes. And if God is at work, what God is doing may not look beautiful, but it is beautiful because it is the handiwork of our God. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Notice what it says in verse number 11. It says this: He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Now, can I ask you, do you believe that? Do we really believe it? Sometimes we have a hard time believing it. Sometimes I have a hard time accepting it, because we think, could there any good thing come out of this? Is there any beauty out of this whatsoever? There's no beauty, Pastor. There's none whatsoever. But wait a minute. God said He hath made everything beautiful. When? In His time. You see, we want God to operate on our time schedule, on our time clock. Lord, take care of this now. Lord, fix this now. But brethren, if Jesus Christ is your Lord tonight, then you and I can truly cherish the now. We can see the beauty of the now. We can embrace the burdens, and we can expect that God is at work, and we can see the beauty in every season that God has given us. Brethren, rather than living to escape now, you can enjoy now. Rather than continually being pressed by the delusion of a better tomorrow or a better yesterday, we can live with the joy of knowing that our God is working today, and today there is beauty in this day because God is behind all of the circumstances of this day. Every season has its burdens. Every season has its blessings. Number three, the last thing. Every season has a better path. Now let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and let's pick up in verse number 11, because I want to show you something. Here is verse number 11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. You see, Solomon is saying, enjoy the day. What is the better path? Let me tell you what the better path is. First, the better path is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is no path like knowing Jesus Christ. That's the very beginning. The better path is to accept God's love and His grace as a gift, and to walk through every season following the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the seasons of life will come and go. You know, money does not rid us from the burdens of life. Solomon talked about this. Solomon had anything and everything that he wanted, and yet in chapter 4 he said, therefore I hated life. How is that possible, Solomon? Because it was not the financial things, it was not the material things that brought him fulfillment and brought him contentment in life. Some of us think, if I had X amount of money, I could be fulfilled and happy and content. But that's not true. You see, because our fulfillment and our contentment is not found in what we possess, it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is found in knowing that our days are a gift from God. The second, the better path is this. If you know Christ as your Savior, then to simply cherish now. You see, to choose to embrace the burdens and to savor the beauty of every season that God has given us. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's times in life when I think, Lord, we just got to get through this and I want to get to the other side. But what are we missing when we do that? Now, I'm the type of person that when I'm going to reach a destination, I want to get there as fast as I can get there, you know? Let's get to the destination. I got to get there. But wait a minute. God wants us to enjoy the journey as well as the destination. What does God have on our path for us? Day by day, the Lord gives us, what does the book of Ruth talk about? Those handfuls on purpose. You remember Ruth? Remember Boaz? He told his men, he said, hey, look, that woman's out there and her husband's dead and she's trying to care for her and her mother-in-law. And he said, I know she's picking up what has been dropped accidentally, but you on purpose leave some blessings. And I can see those men reaching into their sack and pulling out that corn and that feed and dropping it on the ground on purpose. Brethren, that's what God does for you and me. Every day there are handfuls on purpose from our God that He drops on purpose just for you and me. But you know what? If you and I are looking for another day in the future, or we're looking back in the past and thinking about the good old days, then guess what we miss? We miss now. We miss what God is doing now. My children, sometimes, you know, I think, Lord, they're growing up too fast. How many parents ever want to kind of hit the pause button ever on your children's growth? Yeah, I think, you know. Lord, how is this? I'm not old enough to have, you know, children this age. There's no way. This is not possible, you know. But life marches on. Solomon's teaching us here, life is going on, and every season has its blessings. Enjoy the season that God has put you in right now. There is beauty in that season. But the better path is knowing that God has placed you there, and He has great blessings for you. Look here, there is a choice to stop looking back when life was better or what we thought it was, or pressing forward to where I long to be one day and I'm never going to be content unless I get there. You know, I'm from Tennessee. And you know what? I've had people before, I know of preacher friends that, you know, they're from Tennessee and they went out west or they went out east, and in their heart, they thought, I just got to get back to the South, and that's the key, and I've got to get back to warmer temperature, and I got to get back to the South, and sweet tea and fried chicken and all that good stuff. And can I tell you what? Many of them, if that was their heart, they got back and they found out that it was just like any other place. You see, God, not necessarily leading us to some geographical location, God is bringing us to Himself. And brethren, God has a plan. He has a purpose. Let us cherish now. This is a choice to be grateful and to be content with what God is doing right now in my life. Look, if you're a 10th grader in school, enjoy being in 10th grade. Don't look for the 11th grade or 12th grade. And you know what? If you're not careful, you can say, I just can't wait till I graduate. But one day you'll look back and think, boy, that was really good. I should have enjoyed that. If you're in first grade, enjoy being in first grade. If you have children in the home, cherish those moments now. Treasure them. Get every bit of life that you can out of them, because one day life will be gone. Our days are quickly passing by. Oh, listen, the older I get, the more I realize this and understand it. Brethren, can I tell you this? There is no better day than today. There's not. Because this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now look, I'm looking forward to the day that I'll get to be with Jesus Christ. There is no day like that day. But this day is a gift from God that God has given you. There is no better day than today. And brethren, if you and I resist the seasons of life and we don't cooperate with them, we buck against them, we complain against them, we murmur against them, can I encourage myself and can I encourage you? Let us be patient. Let us wait upon the Lord. Let us settle ourselves in God's will and not miss what God has for us right here and now. He has blessings for us now. He has wonderful things for us today. Look, perhaps today is just a planting day, but one day there'll be a harvest day. You know, the farmers in our church, and by the way, we're going to have a special day here coming up soon, and we're going to have Farmer Appreciation Day here at Grace Baptist Church. Man, I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to try to get farmers around the community to come here and all of that. But you know what? These farmers, they work hard. They labor. They spend lots of money to plant. But after they get done planting, they could step back and say, man, look at that. There's nothing there. They got to wait because the harvest is coming. And in your life, it might be the investing time in your children. It might be the teaching time, the instructing time. And you don't see any fruit from it now. But one day it's coming. That's why the Bible says, we are not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if you faint not. You know what discontentment comes from? Discontentment flows from a heart that is not resting in God. It's a heart that is attempting to fulfill your desires your way. It's a heart that is, rather than trusting God's way, you are trying to make your path. You are trying to get to that place of contentment when if you will rest in the day that God has given you, the circumstances that God has placed you in, if you will rest in the season, then you will see the blessing of God, the beauty of the Lord. Listen, you know what? So many times I rebel against a season. I don't want this season, Lord. I don't want it. And you know what I do? I rob myself of the blessings of God in that season. You see, discontentment runs contrary to God's timeline in favor of something that I want of my own. It's saying, God, I don't like this season. But God says, this is what I've given you now, and you need this season now. It's a burden, I know it. It's hardship, it's trouble, but this is a part of your life. And I have something very beautiful in store because He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Brethren, when you and I push forward in our own self-will, rather than trusting God's will to fulfill our hearts in His time, when we do that, we are wasting the day that God has given us. Every day that I murmur is a day that I miss what God has for me. Every day that I'm complaining, I'm missing the moment. I'm wasting the blessing of that day. Brethren, can I tell you this? Remember this. Every season only comes for a season. Do you know you can't get back a certain season? You can't. You see, today will be gone soon. Tomorrow is another day. Your present will pass away, and with its blessings and with its burdens. Can I ask you something? Are you squandering the day? Are you wasting the day, or are we savoring the day that God has given? Brethren, I believe this. Contentment is always a choice. When I praise, I progress. When I can praise the Lord and thank God for the day, I can flounder in the day or flourish in the day. Because contentment is a choice for us to rest in the Lord. Right now, can I ask you something? Right now, let's ask the Lord to help us to cherish the day that God has given us. In fact, we ought to say to the Lord, Lord, I cherish the day that you have given me. It's a gift. Thank you for the gift. Let us say to the Lord, yesterday is past and tomorrow is not yet. But I accept and I rejoice the season that you have placed me in today. Seasons of the soul. Can I tell you this? 6 years God has allowed my wife and our family to be here. And it's been wonderful. I couldn't have asked or even dreamed of anything greater than being here all these years. And I pray that God will continue to bless. But guess what? Here at Grace Baptist Church, we're going to go through some trials and burdens and hardships. But the same God that is with us through the burdens is the same God that gave us all the great blessings. And I am asking God for the days to come. I'm looking forward to the days to come. But I want to cherish now. I want to cherish the blessings now. This past Friday, we had a special day in our school. And being with the kids. And, well, they had popcorn. They had more popcorn on the floor than they did in their mouth, you know. Really, I'm serious. I know for sure. I counted them, all right. But anyway, you know, I thought to myself, you know what? These kids are only young this once. We may never have a day like that again, but I want to cherish every day that God has given us. Years ago, there was a man in our Bible college, and he had lost his wife. They'd been married for many, many years. And my pastor asked him one day, he was sitting on a park bench, and he walked up to this man, and he said, "Do you miss your wife?" He said, "I miss her so very much." He said, "I would give anything for just another day with her." He said, "It could be a sick day, a day that she's in bed, but a day that I could sit with her and hold her precious hand and just see her precious face." Brethren, you know what? One day life is going to come down to that right there. It's going to come down to nothing but memories. And I don't want to look back and think, "God, I wasted so many days because I was looking in the past or I was looking in the future and I wasted the day." This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. And every season has its burdens. It has its blessings. But there is a better path. Let's trust the Lord. Let's pray together.